We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul Dottino brought to you by New York Community Bank, online at MyNYCB.com. By United Healthcare and their Oxford products. Two by London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton and Westfield World Trade Center, and RE/MAX. And here is Paul Dottino. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
On the panic level of 1 to 10, because it is only two games, we know the deal. The Giants in their history have come back from 0-2. We've seen it many times. Your panic level about what you've seen over the first 2 weeks from this team?
Well, I don't know that there's a panic level, but there's certainly a problem with some of these injuries. I mean, you're looking at trying to fix this offensive line, and you don't even know if Bobby Hart's going to be able to play, and he's your starting right tackle. So, you know, that may necessitate more than just one move. You may have multiple moves to make on your O-line. We saw that happen the other night. He gets hurt in the second play of the game against Detroit trying to plant. He couldn't. The ankle buckled under him, and he basically one-hopped over to the bench. I looked at Jeff Fiegel sitting next to me. I said, that's a problem. And it sure was, because Bobby Hart was now out for the night. They had to shuffle the line. Brett Jones went to left guard. Justin Pugh went to right tackle. And you guys saw what happened. It was not a good night for that O-line for the second consecutive game. And so right now, Pugh says he's ready to play right tackle again this week if Bobby Hart can't go, but he's hopeful that he can go. I'm not so sure that he can. I saw a wrap on his ankle yesterday as he limped around the locker room. Doesn't look promising. So, you know, in addition to the things that need to be fixed, they got a health issue there on the O-line that you know, puts him a body down. And then, of course, in defense, Jack Rabbit's supposed to cover Alshon Jeffrey this weekend. But is he going to be available? We still don't know that. He's got this hand injury that, you know, prevented him from practicing again yesterday. B.J. Goodson was out of the lineup last week. Calvin Munson stepped in and did an admirable job, but he's not B.J. Goodson. So the Giants have health issues to deal with besides what may be wrong schematically with what they're doing on the field.
How long can they live with Eric Flowers at left tackle? I mean, he got abused by Ziggy Ansah on Monday night.
Oh, it was really bad. There's no question. I mean, I don't understand how a player of Flowers' mentality could put in all the work he did during the offseason, take the boxing lessons, lose the weight, enhance his strength, enhance his conditioning. How could you go through 8 months of literally blood, sweat, and tears and breaking your back and then put that on tape? I'll be honest with you. It's inexplicable to me.
Maybe he's just not any good. Is that possible?
I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question that the talent level is not where everybody in the Giants organization wanted it to be. But Joe, he played worse against Detroit than he did at any point last year. How do you regress when you have done all the appropriate steps to get better? I would expect at the very least he would have been the same as he was last year.
Sure. Going backwards is kind of...
How do you go backwards? How do you go backwards after putting your butt on the line for 8 months and going through all that stuff that he went through? How do you regress?
That's the thing. Because I figured, you know what? Maybe he'll be just as bad, not worse. But here's the thing. I understand they don't have a lot of great options. And we had Anthony Munoz on before, and he was kind of pitching Chad Wheeler. And we know he has a connection, the USC connection.
Sure.
What should they do something? I mean, should Ben McAdoo, he talks about making changes. I know the options may not be great. No one's suggesting that Whitworth is walking through the door or Anthony Munoz in his prime is walking through the door. Mm-hmm. But don't they have to do something when, as you said, he was as bad on Monday as we've ever seen from him? Don't they have to do something, Paul?
Yeah, I think they do, but I have different solutions for these problems. First of all, if you'll notice, Eric Flowers' worst games with the Giants, the second half of last year and also the other night against Detroit, were games when Justin Pugh was not playing next to him. You'll remember last year Pugh had a sprained knee, missed about a month or so, and those were the games where Flowers really deteriorated. And what happened the other night? Pugh had to go out to right tackle, he left Flowers' side, and he deteriorated once again. I believe it's critical because of Justin Pugh's leadership, his gumption, his ability to get into Flowers' ear, and also the way they play together. I think for Flowers to have any chance to succeed, he needs Pugh at left guard. So as much as you have to replace Bobby Hart if he's hurt, I think Pugh needs to stay at left guard for Flowers' benefit. Okay, that's the first thing that I'm saying to you. Mm-hmm. Second thing I'm saying, now you got to find a new right tackle. Well, if you really believe in Wheeler, then throw the kid out there. You got nothing to lose. I would personally put DJ Fluker out there, and I know that he is big and he's slow and he's not athletic, and that's why the Giants prefer him at guard. But he has played tackle in this league before. He is a big, bruising bulldozer of a man. I would take my chances because I need, if I'm the coach, I need Pugh and Flowers together. And the only way I can keep them together is if I put DJ Fluker at right tackle and take my chances. The other thing that I would do is I would always, always have either Shane Smith or Rhett Ellison on the field for every offensive snap. And if you want to line Ellison up as an H-back or you want to line Smith up as a fullback, that's fine. But they should always be available to chip on either side, whichever Eli believes that he needs help on. That's what they've got to do. And let me tell you something, fellas. Shane Smith was on the field for four plays the other night against Detroit. If that's all he's going to be on the field for, why is he on the roster? Why not? Why did you bother keeping the fullback if you're not going to use him? So that's a problem for me. I would have rather them gone out and got another offensive lineman so that they'd be deeper in the offensive line if you're only going to play the fullback for four snaps. So that's a problem that I have right now with the way that things are playing out. And as far as Ellison's concerned, Ben McAdoo himself told the broadcast production folks, and I was in on those meetings during the preseason, that Red Ellison is one of the best all-around football players he has on this team because he's got great effort, he's got talent, he's got emotion, he's got leadership, he's smart. He does everything well, and he was very underrated in Minnesota. In fact, a member of the Vikings called the Giants and said when they signed him, you guys got one of the best players that you could possibly get your hands on. Well, if that's the case, why has Red Ellison only played 39% of the Giants' offensive snaps in the first two games?
And Paul, when McAdoo is asked about it, his answer is, well, we're not running enough plays. Well, but wait a second. Like you just said, if you're not on the field for 39% or you're only on the field for 39% of snaps, even if you're not running a lot of offensive plays, that's still below 50%. So he hasn't even really given a straight answer on why that's the case.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. These are the kinds of things that could be altered to help the situation. And I'm going to give you two more, fellas, as long as you really want to know. I'm more than happy to open this up because, remember, I go back a long ways and I've studied this game a long time. One of the things you can do to take the teeth out of a ferocious pass rusher who's giving you trouble off the edge, at the beginning of the game, you run right at him. You pound him, and you hit him, and you punch him in the nose. Eric Flowers is a big, strong physical body. One of the ways that you can slow down a pass rusher from that side is you run right behind Flowers. You either put Smith or Ellison, and you use those guys as the extra blocker. You put them on the left hip of Eli, and you power run right behind left tackle, and you slam the ball down that pass rusher's throat. And believe you me, by the time the third and fourth quarter comes around, that pass rusher has lost about half of his gas because he's tired of getting pounded with early runs. He doesn't go into pass rush mode so quick because he's either gassed or he's so worried about getting punched in the mouth because you've already done it to him in a running play. So that's one way you could do it. I give you another way you could do this too. Remember the play to Brandon Marshall in the second half where he dropped that ball right in his breadbasket down the sideline?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, can I just ask, why are they not trying those kinds of plays? By the way, it was open, right? It was open. Eli had the time to throw it.
He should have caught the ball.
Okay, if that play had occurred in the first quarter, what do you think that would have done to the defense? It would have told the Lions, uh-oh, wait a minute. Maybe Eli's not so afraid to drop back and take a long shot. And maybe we have to respect the deep ball instead of playing the dink and dunk so tight and playing the medium range passes so tight. You can help loosen up the defense with the pass first if you want to. It's a little less common. Most people want to loosen up the defense with the run first, but you can loosen it up with the pass first. And the Giants, they should have pulled that Marshall play out of the playbook in the first quarter instead of waiting until the second half. So these are the kinds of things that my experience says they could do to make the situation a little bit better, and it doesn't necessarily mean pulling Eric Flowers out of the lineup.
All right, so now you set me up perfectly for the next question I'm going to ask you. Should McAdoo give up the play calling to the offensive coordinator?
Well, I was of the opinion when Ben McAdoo was hired as the head coach, I understood the logic behind it because Eli had back-to-back sensational seasons with McAdoo calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood why they made him the head coach. But I said then, and I will say this for the foreseeable future, until somebody in the NFL proves me otherwise, I think that the head coach should separate the offensive mm-hmm. coordinator's play-calling duties. I know that Andy Reid does it. I know that Sean Payton does it. Okay, I know that McCarthy does it. And by the way, I don't think it's any coincidence that Ben McAdoo comes from the same tree as those guys. Okay, which is why I know he wants to do it, and he's insistent upon doing it. But I believe since day one when Ben McAdoo was hired that he should have handed off the play calling. Philosophically, mm-hmm. I think you're better off if you split those duties. I've never been a fan of one guy doing both. I just don't think it's a great idea. The game is too complicated. There are too many things that a head coach has to deal with in today's NFL to be able to take that weight on his shoulders every single snap. I just don't think it's a great idea. And quite frankly, you got to remember something. Mike Sullivan has had a very good career with the Giants and with Eli Manning. He's certainly comfortable with them, and he has been a part of some very potent offenses with this team, whether it be the receivers, and we all know about some of the great receivers the Giants have had in the last 10 years, or even the run game when they had Bradshaw, they had Jacobs. When Mike Sullivan went down to Tampa, they relied on the muscle hamster, Doug Martin, for a couple of years. So I'm sure that Sully could tailor things to this offense like what I was just talking to you about. Those suggestions that I just made, I'm sure he would be very familiar with everything I just said because these are some of the things that I know he's familiar with. And these are not, by the way, typical West Coast kinds of things. What I'm talking to you about, these are old school throwback philosophies that don't necessarily comply with the newfound West Coast video game mentality, which is now prevalent in the NFL.
Mm. Will they win on Sunday, in your opinion?
I think the odds are long for them. I really do. I mean, you look at the matchup, and look, the Eagles are a flawed team. Okay, they can't run the ball. They've given up 8 sacks. They gave up 6 to the Chiefs last.
It's all banged up, too.
The secondary is terrible. 3 of their top 6 defensive backs are not going to play. Their linebackers, when they get caught in traffic, they can't do anything. They only play well in space. The strength of their defense is in the defensive line, which, of course, happens to coincide with the Giants' weakness on the offensive line. So the Eagles will do everything they can to exploit that, and you have to like their chances to do so, especially in their building. But honestly, there's nothing in the back seven, just like with Detroit, that should scare the Giants. But if they're going to let the defensive line dominate the game, then the Giants are not going to win. I mean, it's just that simple. And the bad part about it, fellas, if you look at the Eagles, and I've already done all my film work on the Eagles, trust me, Wentz, he gets rid of the ball quick. He does throw it into tight spots, which can be risky. He does move well. He throws to receivers to get them open. And he's certainly not afraid to mix it up and to throw it to a variety of guys. That's all well and good. But what's bad? He will take chances, which means you can get turnovers on him. The other thing is, if you blitz their offensive line. Now, last week they gave up the 6 sacks to the Chiefs. Well, against the 4-man rush, they had no problem pass protecting. But when the Chiefs sent that 5th and 6th pass rusher, they collapsed like a house of cards. If I'm Spags, oh baby, I'm sending the kitchen sink the entire day. And I'm going to say, let me force some turnovers and try to win this game with my defense. Because that's about the Giants' best shot.
Yeah. I mean, Eli basically said, defense, we need your help right now. Paul, great talking to you. We appreciate it.
All right,
Paul. Guys.
See
you.
Paul DeTino on the Giants.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.